what do we do when people are having a rough time? She showed me, you just show up. Sometimes you don't even have to ask because you know the other person might say like, no, I'm fine. You just make the decision and you show up.
This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story.
Hi, friends. Each month of 2025, I have been checking in and giving you an update about what it's been like to be on a semi-sabbatical, exploring my creativity and making time for rest and joy and writing and many other things that have captured my interest. And as I've been reporting back here every single month, I am back again for your September recap. And this one is special because all of the other recaps have been behind the paywall. My dear Substack subscribers are the support system that allows this podcast to be able to be ad-free. And so I've been reserving these monthly check-ins just for them. And I decided for this month only to give you an inside peek into these personal life updates where I get really, really candid about all the things that are going on in my life. So welcome, welcome, welcome if you are new to this community. For September, the major thing that I wanted to talk about is how to show up for yourself, for other people. And all of this has really been inspired by the events that happened in September. So without further ado, let's dive in. So the most exciting thing happened, which is that my dear sister gave birth to my niece at the beginning of September. It was such a joy to be able to go and visit both of them. And that's really when I started thinking about this topic of how we show up for each other. Because as the due date approached for my sister to give birth, I was really thinking about what would be truly helpful in terms of my support. And what helped me get some clarity on that was going back to my own experiences of being a new mom. And it really made me realize that the way that people showed up for me during that time is huge in how I consider showing up for other people when they're going through any sort of major life transition. So I want to tell several stories that have really impacted me that show my experiences of having people show up for me and that then made me reciprocate in similar ways. When I gave birth to my son, Gio, 12 years ago, so many different things happened during that time, but one of the hard parts was that I ended up having an unplanned C-section, and the whole experience was a bit more complicated and layered and somewhat traumatic than I expected it to be. So the way that people showed up for me during that time was exponentially even more important because in addition to having this beautiful miracle of a boy be out in the world, I was going through deep pain, physically, emotionally, mentally, and I really needed the support of everyone around me. in the days after his birth, I had to take care of my physical body. I couldn't drive. I couldn't climb upstairs. I was also nursing around the clock, so I couldn't just go and do the things that would normally help me, even like getting a sip of water, going and getting a bite of food, or taking a shower. These were things that were suddenly great adventures. And then on an emotional level, I was dealing with the grief of what I thought was going to be, the kind of birth I thought I was going to have for Gio. I was going through the loss of self, kind of the erasure of self, and the kind of contrasting experiences of both being delighted and grateful and enthralled with this new being, and also going, oh, okay, everything I used to do that identified me as a person, those things are all kind of on pause now, or are they over now? And, you know, it's a whole different grappling with identity. I went from being a full-time professor and having a very active writing career to now shifting and going, okay, for a little while, I'm going to be home full-time, and then I'm going to go back to work eventually, but also having a whole new role as mom. Right. And then my marriage shifting and the delegating of responsibilities and making sure everything felt equal. And what is our marriage now? And how do we operate as mother and father in addition to husband and wife? I mean, gosh, all of the things. And then mentally, there was great anxiety when everybody had talked about postpartum depression, and to be on the lookout for that. But I hadn't expected a postpartum anxiety, this deep feeling of responsibility, you know, for the livelihood of another human being, for the actual life and safety and health of another human being. And for me, that kind of responsibility initially was very, oh, panic inducing. And it felt all-encompassing. There was a terror of, oh gosh, I have to do everything right. So all of that was going on. Okay, so that sets the scene. And so when people did show up, here is what actually helped, because during that time, of course, you know, people say congratulations and they send clothes for the baby. That's typically what happens. But what I found that actually helped was an acknowledgement of me as a human being. So I'll never forget my friend Cheryl, when she came to visit at the hospital, she brought a gift both for me and the baby. And so in addition to the typical kind of little outfits or things that the baby might get, she brought me a bracelet that had the gemstone of our son's birth month. And the fact that she gave me something as a recognition of my efforts and my transition into this new role was everything. It was like, I see you. I see all that you've been through. I could have wept when I opened that, because it's like, oh yeah, someone realized that I had been through something big. And then for the months after Gio's birth, Cheryl would come usually at least once a month, if not more, to not only hold the baby and let me shower and eat, but then also she would take these monthly newborn pictures to kind of capture his growth. And we would set him up next to a little chalkboard that had his month, his weight, his height, any milestones on it. And I'll never forget, a few months in, we're kind of propping him up next to the chalkboard to get his picture taken. And in a split second, he kind of tilts over and he knocks his head on the ledge of the chalkboard that holds the eraser and chalk. And nothing happened. There was no cut. There wasn't even a bruise. And yet, oh my God, the awfulness that I felt as he was wailing. I'm going, oh my God, all of this because we wanted to capture a picture of him. He is a solid 90-pound 12-year-old now who's looking me in the eye. So that one blink in time did not have any impact in the grand scheme of things, but oh, in the moment. But all of this, suffice to say, was so generous of my friend. And when she would come over and just hold him and allow me to be a human again and not just a nursing, burping, changing person, made me feel so seen. And I actually did a whole other episode about the time where Cheryl whisked me away when Gio was about 6 months old, and she took me to an overnight hotel stay so we could go see a concert and get our nails done, and she did my hair. And again, she made me feel human again and like me again. So all of these little things that Cheryl did for me helped me think about, okay, when I'm showing up for Dana, what might be the things that could be helpful? And this goes for any of the people in my life too. This has an impact of how can I help that other person feel seen and recognized? So with my sister, I was like, oh yeah, what was that time like? Well, everyone was sending clothes for the baby, but I remember that when I got home from the hospital, I was in desperate need of a million nursing tank tops, and I had no time to go to Target and get them. And this was back in the day before everything was a click away. And so I sent her some clothes that might be helpful for when she got home. I was also thinking about, okay, once I got home from the hospital, we were living in Massachusetts at the time, and my mom and sister came to visit from Illinois when Gio was about a week old. And that week was magical because they just took care of everything else. I was glued to our recliner, basically topless all week, just nursing around the clock. And they were refilling my water bottle, cutting up fruit to have a bowl of fruit salad that I could just reach into and eat as I was nursing. They were cleaning up. They were getting me anything that I needed. And it was everything, because I think one of the most important things that I've recognized when someone's going through any sort of transition and you're going to visit them, it's different than other visits where they might be hosting and you might be guesting. When you're going to support someone when they've been through a transition, you need to move into helper mode. You need to almost be hosting them. It's like they're the guest, even in their own home, and you need to be attending to their need. That is what they need in the moment. And that is what my sister and my mom gave to me. And I'll never forget during that time, my father and my grandfather came to visit from Illinois after my mom and sister had left. It was like maybe a couple months into Gio's newborn time. This was the first time my grandfather was ever coming to visit in Massachusetts. And so it was kind of different, you know, than when my mom and sister came to visit. I was playing more of a host mode. And so in addition to cleaning up the house, setting up the beds for them and, you know, making them feel comfortable, I was like, okay, well, when they get here from the airport, they're going to be hungry. My grandfather had diabetes, so I knew that like food would be of utmost importance. And so I made the effort to, in addition to nursing and changing and getting the house ready, I went and got a bunch of different things for sandwiches and sides. And I had like a make your own sandwich kind of buffet. And I had all of these different fixings. And I set that all up and I let them know that I would have lunch ready for them. And the airport was maybe 45, 50 minutes away from our house. And I get a text from my father 20 minutes into their ride to our house. And my father says, "We're going to be a little late. Grandpa wanted to stop at McDonald's to get food." Oh, the steam that came out of my ears. This was, you know, I can laugh about it now. It's typical grandfather behavior. I'll never forget that when my cousin was like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, he had a birthday party at the house and he had all of his buddies downstairs to play in the basement. And the cake was upstairs, ready and waiting for everyone to sing happy birthday. And so the time came when all the kids were done playing downstairs and it was time to go upstairs to sing happy birthday and cut the cake. And everyone comes upstairs and they find Grandpa sitting at the table with a plate with cake crumbs on it, chocolate on his lips, and a giant slice cut out of the cake. Even before anyone had sung happy birthday to my cousin. And it's just like, yep, typical behavior. And so what we want is to not do that and not be that, right? We want to make sure that we are guests who act as hosts when we are visiting someone. And this isn't prescriptive. I guess this is my train of thought. So take it or leave it. But these are the rules of thumb that I have been tapping into as I've been thinking about, you know, how best to support my loved ones. So when I did get to visit my sister and my beautiful niece, it was so glorious. And I tried to return just a tiny bit of the support that my sister had given me by doing the very same things that she had done for me, like throwing in a load of laundry and, you know, whatever it might be, just letting the dogs outside, just small things, and holding the baby when my sister needed some rest or what have you. So I was trying to mirror back what she had done for me. And even despite my best efforts, there was this one afternoon where everyone was resting and it was like, oh, thank goodness, you know, oh my gosh, as a new parent, you get zero sleep. So it was peaceful and the dogs were chill. The baby was resting. My sister and her husband were relaxing. And I went to have a little bit of lunch and I was having a burger and it had a gluten-free bun on it. And this matters only because it was like very dry. And my sister had said, oh, Nay, you may want to like toast that or do something with it. It's super dry. And again, I'm like, okay, don't worry about me. I'm supposed to be helping you out here, right? So I was like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. I was so hungry. I was just like, I'm just going to eat it. I start eating it. And a dry crumb of bun shoots down my windpipe, like basically into my lungs. And I start frantically coughing, like cannot deal. My eyes are watering. And it's like this peaceful moment. And I'm like, oh my God, I know I'm waking up the dogs and the baby. So I try to go outside so I can cough without everybody hearing. But, you know, then I open the screen door and that's loud. And then the dogs get up because they're wondering what's going on. And I was like, oh my God, am I going to need like the Heimlich here? I was coughing so hard, like so hard that like the crumb actually shot out of my lungs and into somehow like my nasal passageway. So then I was like stuck between my nose and my throat. Oh my God. I was like crying. My eyes were watering so hard. So, you know, despite your best efforts, you can also be an annoying house guest. But I also thought about just these moments again when people kept showing up for me, especially in times of need. Like when my son was, gosh, maybe 5 months old. He had started going to daycare, and you know what a germ fest that is. And so he comes home one day with a bug that we did not realize was a bug, because instantly all three of us got sick at the exact same time. And we had just gotten takeout from somewhere. And I think at that point, I mean, he was old enough where we were feeding him like little tiny pieces of stuff. So however old that was. And so we had all had little bits of whatever this food was. And then suddenly we all got sick. So I assumed that it was food poisoning. And I mean, we just had stuff coming out of both ends, all of us. And we were so weak and shaky, Jamie and I. We like each lost several pounds within a day's time frame. And picking up Gio to change him or nurse him was actually quite the feat. And I was like, how do people do this? How do people take care of themselves and each other when everyone is sick? And we didn't have any family living nearby. And so I was talking to my sister on the phone and just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And I was crying, and she must have heard the desperation in my voice, because the next day on her young adult strapped budget, you know, I had just gotten out of college at that point, came and bought a plane ticket and flew to see me and help take care of us. And it was one of the nicest things anyone has ever done, one of the most thoughtful. So she shows up to take care of everything. And a couple days later, we're all doing a little better. And then we take Gio to the pumpkin patch. And we did one of those hay rides through the fields. And my sister was like, oh, I don't feel so good. And I just thought it was motion sickness, which she gets sometimes. And she starts like, ooh, I'm really not feeling good. We had to pull over when we were driving home, and she threw up. And I was like, oh, I think this is more than motion sickness. And it's at that point that it dawns on me that whatever we had was not food poisoning. It was some kind of awful megavirus. And we then, as a thank you for taking care of us, passed it on to Dana, who was about to get on a flight to go home as she was puking her brains out. And so despite the very bad ending to that trip, it was another moment where someone was showing me what it means to really show up for someone else. What do we do when people are having a rough time? And she showed me, you just show up. Sometimes you don't even have to ask, because you know the other person might say like, no, I'm fine. You just make the decision and you show up. And that has stuck with me ever since. And, you know, she's done that many, many times throughout my life of just always being there. And I hoped to offer the same sort of support and to continue to offer the same sort of support. And hopefully I helped in some way, despite my coughing fit. But who knows? Who knows? That leads to the very last part of this whole topic of showing up, which is that if you've been following along for the rest of the year, one of the major things that I have been doing during my sabbatical is writing, getting back to my own writing. As a teacher of writing, it's what I eat, sleep, and breathe. I'm constantly teaching and coaching about different craft techniques, and it is my joy to do so. And also, if I don't make enough time for my own writing, then my soul suffers. So I've been prioritizing my creativity, and one of the most amazing ways that other people have shown up for me is that I'm part of a writer's group, and we made this pact with each other a little while ago that we would do 15 minutes of writing every weekday. And it could happen any time of the day, but once we do our individual 15 minutes, we have to text the group. And we just say 15, or we just send a check mark. And it's good accountability and sort of peer pressure to keep each other accountable. And it has made me write on days that I didn't think I had a minute to spare. And it's been everything. So that has been huge. And then the other thing, as I've mentioned, I've gone down a lovely journey with the hormones. Even though I'm only 42 and I expected this transition to happen, I don't know, 8 years from now or so, I have gone into having very irregular cycles and having lots of fun symptoms like hot flashes and brain fog and lack of sleep and dryness and you name it. And so I'm like, oh, fun. So perimenopause is very much my life right now. And I've gone down the road of HRT, hormone replacement therapy, and I definitely either need to up my dose or change some things because I'm not having enough alleviation of symptoms. And so this leads to my last bit of support, which is that I've needed to get blood work done and talk to different doctors, and it can be enough to really just stop you and just throw up your hands. The medical system and health insurance and the different barriers you face, and this is coming from someone who I'm fully acknowledging my great privilege in this world, and yet it is still difficult to access affordable good care. So I've been on a little journey there. And the other day, finally, I got to talk to a nurse at one of the offices around here because I was being told I couldn't be seen for another several months. And I talked to a nurse who took the time to answer some questions. And then she was like, hey, if you are willing to drive over an hour, we have another office and you could get an appointment in 2 weeks. And I almost wept. I was like, thank you. Thank you for taking my needs seriously and going out of your way to find a way to help me. It really matters. It makes a difference when you go the extra mile for someone, and it makes the extra difference when someone goes the extra mile for you. It really, really does. So that is everything I've been thinking about as of late. If you want an inside peek as to what the other months in this sabbatical adventure have been like, go on over to my Substack. The link is in the show notes. If you become a paid subscriber, then you get to not only listen to my monthly updates from the last year, but also you get to read everything that's behind the paywall, where I get very honest and personal and vulnerable about life as a midlife writer, mother, partner, woman, creative, teacher, all the things. Okay, my friends, that is all. Big thanks to someone who always shows up for me, my dear producer, Michelle Rado. And remember, everyone, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next time.